That's 2 minutes. If you're not used to doing that, the first time you do it can seem like an age. But once you've been doing it a little bit, it soon goes by. Are we okay to record now, Mark? We're recording. Yeah, for those listening to the tape, we've just done a 2 minute silence, which is not for Remembrance Sunday, although it is good to remember. But it's part of what we're doing in our daily office as a church. We've been doing this book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, it's one of the routines that we do, and I'll say a little bit more about that as we go forward. So as I say, last week Adrian was talking about the Sabbath, and today I'm continuing the similar sort of theme, but it's on the daily office part of what we're talking about, and today is the rhythms of the daily office. So if you've got your Bibles with you, let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. It's a well-known story. It's quite a long chapter, but we're going to read it anyway. It pleased Darius, who was the king, to appoint 120 satraps. And they're not rat traps or anything like that. They are basically counselors or rulers. So we appointed 120 of these to rule throughout the kingdom. And they had three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We'll never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Persians and Medes, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring. with the ring and with the ring of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, be able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They've not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, king." The king was overjoyed, gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he trusted in his God. And the king commanded the men who'd falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He's rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What a fantastic passage of scripture that is, isn't it? It's absolutely fantastic. And wow. And this is talking about the rhythm, the daily rhythm. And rhythm got me thinking about Strictly Come Dancing. Do you anyone watch Strictly Come Dancing? Yeah. You get into it a little bit, don't you? And I am going to do something. And that rhythm, I'm trying to do that samba. You know the samba roll? Can you do that samba roll? Can you do it?
No.
But it's that beat, that samba beat, the samba roll. And you know some of you know Michael, the Chinese lad, who I do the Bible with, read with Chinese. And he's got an app, and he's learning English. And on the app, these sort of phrases come up. And this week, we were looking at the app. And guess what the phrase came up? It was "dad's dancing." How on earth does that come up on an app when you're learning English, "dad's dancing"? And there's me trying to explain to Michael what "dad's dancing" is. And fortunately, he got it. He just do it, and he got it. So there's me doing this in Wetherspoons. No, I wasn't really. But you get the picture. I can't dance for toffee, and I don't think most men can. You get this picture of just coming onto the stage. But when you watch Strictly Come Dancing, and you see these professionals, it's absolutely superb, isn't it? It's brilliant. They are absolutely brilliant. Why are these professionals so brilliant? It's because they train. And they don't just train once in a blue moon or every now and again or when it's a competition. They're at it daily. You hear these celebrities saying, "I've been at it since 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. It's changed my life. I'm doing it 7 days a week." They only get to be sort of amateurish. But these professionals are just so top of the range. And it's the same with football. I think I could play football. I used to play for the school team, and I thought it was great. But, when you look at some of these professional footballers now, they're just in a league which is just, it's up here somewhere. Mo Salah and Mane and all these guys, it's in a whole different league. And if we got 11 guys and said, "Let's go and play these guys," we'd get absolutely flattened. And the reason is because these guys are dedicated. Something they do daily to get themselves fit, what they eat, what they drink, how they go to bed, how they behave, it's all linked and it all comes together. And in verse 10 of the passage we read there, it says about Daniel. What does it say in verse 10? If you've got your Bibles, you can look at it. It says this. If I get the right chapter, here we go. When Daniel learned about the decree and it was published, what did he do? He went home into his room, opened the windows towards Jerusalem. Three times he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just like he used to do every now and again. No. what does it say? Just like he'd done before, right? He prayed three times a day. He got down there and he did it. He didn't just do it when he needed something. He did it all the time. It was part of his DNA. Three times a day, Daniel would pray. Giving thanks to God, just as he had done before, he did it exactly the same. You see, Daniel had a daily routine. He had a daily routine of doing it. It was part of him. It worked for him, and he needed to do it to get him through the day. He didn't just do it because the decree had been given. He was going to do it anyway. The decree just added an extra dimension to it. You see, Daniel had experienced God in his life. And from an early age, God had blessed him so much that he knew who his God was, and he knew he needed to spend that time with God. It says in verse 3 there that Daniel had so distinguished himself from the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. What a testimony Daniel had. And bear in mind, this is a slave. Daniel was a slave. He wasn't part of this nation. But he'd risen from a slave to become, if you like, the prime minister. That's who he was going to become, the prime minister. He was going to be over the whole kingdom. He distinguished himself. Something about him stuck out. In verse 16, the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you continually serve, rescue you." So there was something about Daniel and the way God was in his life that had hit this king who had no thought of God. In verse 20 it says, when the king came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God." He'd recognized who God was. "Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" There was something about him. Right back in his early life, Daniel refused the food that was offered to him. When he came as a slave with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and some of his other mates, they were taken into the king's royal court and they said, "We like the look of these guys, we're going to train them up and we're going to get them to be the top of our tree." But he said, "The only way we're going to do that is we're going to feed them our food, the king's royal food." But Daniel said, "No, we don't want that. We'll just have bread and water. We'll live on bread and water. We're satisfied with what we've got." Why did he say that? Because he knew who his God was. He knew what he put his confidence in. And it showed that after a number of days, the king said, "Hang on, we'll put everybody on bread and water. we'll cut the rich food out. We'll give them what Daniel's getting." Yeah, because he knew who his God was. He issued the decree, it says, to every kingdom and people to fear the God of Daniel. He's the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues, he saves, he performs signs and wonders in heaven and earth. He's rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. What a testimony of Daniel's life. The king spotted something about him. How did he do it? How did he get there? Was it just luck? Was it just by chance? No. He had a daily routine. And this is where the daily office comes in for us. You see, it's regular routine, time spent with God. Stillness, that silence is not just a waste of 2 minutes. It's coming into his presence. By reading our Bibles, by praying, it's doing something in our life. I think most of us, I hope, have been doing the 100 days of prayer. And Mike wrote a quote in here called Rules of Life. And when we say rules, most of us go, "Well, I'm not doing that. We don't like the rules." Whether it's rules of the road, I've already broken the rules of the road today. I won't tell you how, but I have. I clearly went totally opposite what I was supposed to do. We break the rules all the time. Part of it was just, "Well, I'm going to do it anyway. Nobody's looking. I'll get away with it." We don't like rules and regulations, so we tend to kick against them. So when I read this out, it says this: giving one's whole life over to God, a life dedicated to prayer and worship, according to the rhythm of your life. That's what the rule of life is. I'll say that again. And you could say this about Daniel. Giving one's life wholly over to God, a life dedicated to prayer and worship, according to the rhythms of your life, a way of helping us practice the presence of God throughout the day. Why a rule of life? There's several reasons, including a desire for a deeper discipleship, a longing for revival, the imitation of Christ. A rule of life is not a rule book. If we treat it as such, it can lead to a sense of failure. Yeah, because we break the rules, don't we? But this is a rule in the term of a line to follow. It's like a helping hand. It's a way of humbling ourselves and saying we can't do anything in our own strength, but we can with God's presence, power, protection, purpose, and provision. And the bottom line is routine leads to revival. And today, guys, that's all the daily office is about. And that's all we're trying to encourage you to do, is to get into a daily routine. I hope you've all got daily routines. You probably have. You get out of bed in the morning, you clean your teeth, you have your breakfast, you take the kids to school, you come home, you go shopping, right? You have your lunch, you come back, you have your tea, you watch Coronation Street, you watch the football, you go to sleep. And is that your routine? And it can be for so many of us. We get on a treadmill of routine, but today the challenge is, where's God fitting in to our daily routine? Where's God fitting into your daily routine? Is he a fixture like Daniel? Is he part of it? And you know, there's lots of tools around to help you and to help all of us. And I don't know if you've found them, but there's just a few that I use and other people use. One is this one. If you're not already doing this day by day, can I just encourage you to do it? It's not easy. There's some tough stuff in here. And some of it is not relevant maybe to you personally, but do it every day anyway. Get into the habit of doing it. There's nothing wrong with a habit. It can be good. So they use that one. Some of you will know 24/7 prayer. If you haven't come across the 24/7 prayer app, you can get it on your phone. You can get emails from them as well. They have something called Lectio, L-E-C-T-I-O. It's an app. It's called Lectio 365. And each day, it's like a 5-minute slot, and it's based on the word pray, yeah, which is pause, reflect, ask, and yield. And it only takes 5 or 6 minutes. You can just get it on your phone each day. You can get a reminder, and it's just there, a simple little tool to connect with God. UCB, got Word for Today. That's there. You can use Bible Gateway, if you don't already know that one. There's something called Inner Room, which is a prayer app. Again, it's a lovely little tool. You can get reminders on your phone all the time. It's just a quick reminder to pray for something. Put some things into your diary that just come to you and remind you. There's something called Echo, the Echo app. I don't know if you've come across that. It's not the Echo that you read the paper, but it's called Echo. And again, you can do lots of things on there that just help you. There's loads more. Whatever works for you, find it and just do it and get into it. Find yourself a challenge, get yourself a bit of a challenge, and that helps you. If you've got a challenge, something to do. Some, I know a number of years ago, read through the Bible. You can get the actual Bible written in chronological order, and you can read it each day. So you're actually reading through the Bible in 365 days. And it's good. It sets yourself a little bit of a challenge. Maybe find a partner and challenge each other. Build each other up. Encourage each other in what you're doing. How did you read that? What did you read? What did you pray? And get alongside it. Daniel did it on his own. He was on his own. And he did it. And it wasn't easy. I'm sure it wasn't easy for him. I'm sure sometimes he thought, oh, good heavens, I'll go to bed. Not the third time. But he got into that routine and wrote it of doing it. Some of you, I know in Advent, may be reading through Luke. There's 24 chapters in Luke. And if you read one chapter a day, starting the first of Advent, you go right through to the 24th, and you read 24 chapters of Luke. Just simple little tools like that, but they just focus your mind, and you get around doing it. So just let me encourage you in that. Another thing is journaling. I don't know if you journal, but I've really found that such a blessing for me. Well, David, it's all right for you. You're doing nothing all day. Well, not strictly true, although I've probably got more time than most of you. But you can make time. Even when I was at work, I made time. And it's up to you what you do with that time, whether it means you get out of bed a bit earlier or you go to bed a bit earlier, whatever it is, I don't know. People always said to me years ago, if you want to go to sleep, start reading your Bible. There's truth in that. There is definite truth in that, I know. But that's not the purpose of it. So go to bed a little bit earlier and read your Bible and pray. But journaling I've really found that a blessing. And I might only some days write a couple of lines. God just puts something in you and just write a couple of lines. Some days I might write a couple of pages. It just depends. But it's such a tool to connect with God. And that's what it's about. We're connecting with God. It's a meeting of heart and mind. And as I said before, this isn't about rules. I don't want anyone going out of here today feeling guilty. Oh, dear me, all them daggers come. Guilt. This isn't about guilt. It's about relationship. Build a relationship with God. It might only be for you 1 minute a day, but connect with God. Fit him where you can, but whatever you do, don't leave him out. Don't leave him out. So if you're not doing anything in any form of daily office, let me encourage you to start doing it. Make it yourself a challenge for 2020. I'm going to do it. Yeah. There's a phrase here. We connect with God to give and receive so we can grow and mature as Christians and then give God out of our lives just like Daniel. I'll say that again. We connect with God to give and receive so we can grow and mature as Christians and then give out of our lives, just like Daniel. And who knows where that could take us. Could somebody in this room rise to be prime minister? Who knows? It's not impossible. One of our young kids, who knows what God could do? Yeah. He just took a slave guy from his own home and raised him up to a massive point. There's an old song we used to sing years ago called Dare to Be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known. It's going to be tough, guys, if we're going to stand up for God and be like Daniel. Wouldn't it be great if our testimony at work or wherever we are in the community was like Daniel? And people were saying, I want what you've got. What's that God you're worshipping? I want it. And guys, the only way we're going to get it is if we get closer to God each day and we build and we build and we build as we get closer to him.